Proverbs 16:1 says this: we humans make plans, but the Lord has the final word. Somebody say, God is for me. And if God is for me, it doesn't matter what's against me. Look at your neighbor and shout in their face. Tell them, if God's for you, it doesn't matter what's against you. How many know God is for you? Come on, somebody shout, God is for me. You may as well preach with me. We need some joy and some happiness and some somebody in here today. Amen. Amen. We have an organ. It's not the one we had last week, but we got an organ. You can still jam me up, right? Oh, yeah. Amen. God has the final say. Amy and I were waiting on our first baby. We had planned and believed. We'd waited 7 years, and then we decided to have Stephen, or try to have Stephen. And, I mean, it was a good pregnancy. Didn't seem to be any problems. Just standard stuff. And it came time to have the baby. It was just one of those moments, and so we've got to have this baby. We're going to do a C-section. I didn't know what a C-section was. Y'all got to understand, when I came in here, I knew nothing. And when I had my first child, I knew nothing. I'm the perfect example of somebody who knew nothing about it. But I remember we went into the doctor's office, and he had decided to schedule the C-section. He said, well, let's do it at whatever time it was on a Sunday. And so it might have been Brian or Stephen, but I went in and I told him, I'll tell you what, I got to go preach. Let me finish my sermon. I'll come back afterwards and we'll do the C-section. And he looked at me like, are you crazy? Actually, I might have been. So we get in here and they take Amy back. And all of a sudden, you know, we realize something's not right. And so as we're back there, you know, they're testing her for all kinds of stuff. They got little monitors on her stomach, and they're checking to see if he's breathing, and they can find nothing. No breathing, no nothing. They can't find Stephen in her womb. But the Bible said our coffers would be full. Our lives would be full. And so as we're in this room, I don't know what to do. And this is the thing, you know, I love being part of a great church with a great church family. And so the only thing I know to do is call the church, call home, call my pastor, call somebody to help me. And at that time, we had great friends and Brother Ward and Miss Jean. And Miss Jean is here today. Miss Jean, would you lift your hands? Miss Jean sitting right there. The only person I could call was Miss Jean. And I said, Miss Jean, I said, we're in trouble. They say this baby's dead. And she said, you go in there in that operating room and you sit down at her head. This is what being Holy Ghost people is all about. And I sat down at her head. Now, the doctors have said it was bad. As a matter of fact, when I was sitting in the lobby, they wheeled in and the guy just sped in and slid his car into the parking spot. As he's running in the door, they're throwing on a gown on him, throwing a gown on me. And so as we're waiting, she just says, go in there when they're getting ready to do this. They're going to let me go sit at her head while they do this procedure. You just start singing lullabies. Sounded good to me, but I didn't know any lullabies. But I knew what she meant. So I went and sat at Amy's head and I began to sing, yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me, for the Bible tells me so. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me, for the Bible tells me so. They did the operation and pulled the baby out. It was supposed to be dead. We were going to take home a dead baby that day because that was the man's word. But it's not the final word. I mean, no, Jesus, God is the final word. His word is the final word. Look at your neighbor and say, God's got something to say about it. Oh, hallelujah. I mean, I don't care what you're going through. I don't care what you're facing. I don't care what your challenge is. I don't care what the problems are. God is the final word. What he says is what rings true. When they pulled him out, I remember the doctor yelled out, "Well, there's nothing wrong with this baby." He patted Stephen on the behind, and you can see, well, he's got like 9 inches on me, and I mean, look where he's at, all because God has the final say. Come on, somebody, God has the final say. I feel like in this room today, as I'm talking to you, I feel like this. I could be wrong, but I sense some of you are standing and looking at things and challenges and issues and situations, and you need the help of the Lord to get you through it. I want you to know something. I don't care what the doctor said. I don't care what the lawyer said. I don't care what the bank said. I don't care what the business owner said. I want you to know something. God is the final say. He's the way, the truth, and the life. And no man comes to the Father but by him. I want you to know, Jesus is the way. He's your way. He's your truth. He's your life. And I want you to know, he's going to do more than man can do. He can say more than man can say. He can provide more than man can provide. God said, "I'm the way." We might have plans, but God has the plan. Somebody ought to shout out amen. Just shout out amen real big right now. Come on, church, say it again. Amen. Say, "Preach it, Pastor Steve."
Preach it, Pastor Steve.
The final say. You know, this may be the thing, and if you're here today, and after this service, we're inviting people to come. We're going to have a memorial service for my mother-in-law, Amy's mother. And I'm preaching a sermon on God's the final say. But here's what I'm telling you. Listen to me. Adam provided a life that requires us to get old, and I've become more and more alert that I'm no longer 20. Does anybody over 20 can say you know what I'm talking about? And I've noticed that some of that stuff even speeds up, like the wrinkles have gotten faster. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? I tell anybody, these guys, I have a professional basketball player, or not a professional, he played basketball for University of South Carolina, and he plays the bass for us. And they were talking about how good he was on the basketball court, wanted to know if I could play basketball, and I'm like, yeah. But before they told me he played for South Carolina, I'm like, yeah. You know, like I could jump over the hoop. You know what I'm saying? So I'm going at it, and then they're like, "Did you know he played for South Carolina?" and all this stuff. And then I'm like, "Well, I can play with anybody for 2 minutes." I can play with anybody for 2 minutes, which is really true. I can play good now for about 2 minutes. But if I had to run full court for like 90 minutes, oh, that's out. That's over. I can't do that. Because my body is not getting younger. It is getting older. Gravity is taking hold on my body. And that gravity works. To say that you're believing God for healing and deliverance and prosperity, according to the word of God, he became poor that through his poverty you could be rich. That is the word of God. That's the final say. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. Final say. I don't. There's not going to be another verse written to conflict with that. He's good all the time, and all the time he's good. How many know I'm right? And he doesn't change. With him, there's no changing, no variableness. He doesn't change. All good things come from the Lord. He pours them on us. And so for us to live, as we're living in this life, we have the ability to tap into what God's already done. I'm not trying to get God to do it. That's the amazing thing. We grow up in church and we are taught by teachers that we are attempting to make God perform for us. I need this, so God, if I do this and I do this and I do this and I do that and I do the other and I perform these things, then you'll finally come through. Like somehow we think we can twist God's arm and make God perform for us. I'm sick, I need a healing. And so I think if I can live good enough, or I can read enough, or study enough, or watch enough TV, you should have already watched TV and tried to keep the sickness off. Somebody ought to say amen. It's better to keep it off than to get it off. Amen. It's a lot easier to get it off of you than it is, I mean, to keep it off of you than to get it off of you. Because when you see the bells and hear the sirens, it's a little different than when you're believing God and saying, God, I don't allow this cold to stay. Somebody else shout amen. I mean, get it off at the sneeze, not at when they call it COVID. Come on, somebody. But anyway, thank God he provides healing for us when we go through diseases and sickness and all those things. But I want you to know this. I want you to get this. If I take metformin, because they told me a couple years ago that I had sugar issues. My son wants me to call it diabetes. I don't have diabetes. I have issues with sugar. And so they gave me metformin. From the day they gave it to me until this very day, I am believing God every time I take metformin that I'm receiving my healing from the disease or the sickness that's tried to attack my body. And I want you to know something that has no right to stay. According to the Word of God, the final say is, by Jesus' stripes, you were. Come on, somebody, you were healed. It doesn't matter what your nose is doing. You were healed. It doesn't matter whether I'm taking metformin or not. You were healed. And when I wake up in the morning and I start walking and I take the first pill, I declare my healing after that. Now, I've lost a lot of weight and I plan to lose a lot more. Man, I look good. Everybody's mad at me because my suits don't fit anymore and they look like they're swallowing me. So I guess I'm going to have to do something to the suits or buy new ones. I'm not getting enough shouting on that. See, that's where you got to... There's need some running, jumping, dancing, hollering, hooping. Thank you. And I know, and my faith is, and I'm going to walk in the doctor's office, he's going to say, you don't need to take that no more. You've been healed. You don't have sugar no more. And I believe that every day. Now, let me tell you the truth of the matter. Here's the truth. You ready for the truth? I believe that even if I die taking a metformin, I don't think anybody got what I just said. God's word is the final say. And I hear preachers talk about it as if God's going to do something. He's going to do something, going to do something, going to do something, going to do something. God's going to do something. God's going to do something. If you hang in there long enough, God's going to do something. God's going to do something. God already did something. God's already done. When Jesus said, "It is finished," there was nothing left to do. Hallelujah. Not for one problem, not for one disease, not for one financial struggle, not for one mental issue, nothing. God said, "It's finished." He meant that I've written in my word, I have placed inside of my word the final say. And if you can know my word and you know what I say and you can endure and you can come to the point where you let faith work, faith is important to us, and you start working by faith, then what I have put in my word is the answer to your problem. You don't have to pray and ask God, please heal me. You have to pray and ask God, I'll receive your healing right now. I receive it by faith. I receive it right now because you've already said that I'm healed. Church, you're already, if you have Jesus, when you got Jesus, you got all of him. I didn't get enough shouting right there. Because I know some of you think you got a part of him. You just got a portion of him. But no, no, no. Jesus doesn't have divisions. He's all. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. If he was the healer, he is the healer. If he is the healer, he will be the healer. And that Jesus is what lives on the inside of you. If it can't be in Jesus, it shouldn't be in you. Now, this is really important for you to understand, because you don't stop your believing based on what you see. I walk by faith and not by sight. Now, here's the bad news. You ready? It's accounted unto a man once to die. I love you, but between here and heaven, even if you go in the rapture, if we're sitting here and in the next 2 minutes Jesus takes us up, somewhere between here and heaven, your flesh is going to have to separate from your spirit. Is that true or isn't it true? Amen. It's true. Amen. So if you're saying, I'm not going to die, stop lying. Just say, I'm not going to die on the earth or something. Just say something else. You with me? Does anybody understand what I'm trying to tell you? But I'm going to tell you this. When I get to heaven, you think I'm handsome now. I'm going to be stunning in heaven. I'm not going to have any more sickness or disease or death or... They're not going to be anymore. Oh, no, no, I'm not going to cough no more. I'm not going to have any more of the sore limbs and limping around. No, 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 no. I'm walking into heaven, and when I get there, I'm going to be young and spry and healthy, and I'm going to be whole, and everything's going to be well. And here's the thing. God said, as it is in heaven, let it be on earth. We're to believe here that we're going to have what's there, and I'm going to believe all the way to heaven. My faith is intact. I'm secure. I know that where I'm going, there are many mansions. Hallelujah. I'm not going to be poor, scraping by, hoping I got enough, hoping I can pay the bills. No, sir. When I get there, there are streets of gold. They're going to be the streets I'm running on. They're going to be sidewalks made of pearl. I'm going to be on those sidewalks. Going to be gates made of gold. I'm going to open those gates. Mansions for me. And God said, as it is there, I'm believing here. Does anybody understand what I'm saying? He has the final word. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. I want you to think about this. I'm going to finish. I told Amy it was 11:45. And then you guys can fellowship until 12:15. Go get a Coke at McDonald's and some French fries. I love McDonald's French fries. And if you go get French fries from McDonald's, would you bring me some French fries? Tell everybody so they don't have 100 packs of French fries. Because Jesus' blood was the final price needed to pay the debt for sin. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. There's wages. Thank God none of us, you have to understand, none of us are righteous, no, not one. But I am the righteousness of God in Christ. Look at somebody and say, you're righteous in God by Christ. Jesus lived a perfect life, sinless. His blood was perfect and pure, holy and able, fully able to wash away. He didn't just have to cover sin. In the Old Testament, it was bulls and goats and those kinds of things, and they'd cover the sin. When Jesus came, he just washed it away. Come on, somebody. What's really incredible about that is because of that washed away sin and because of the righteousness of God, it isn't about you making it happen. There isn't anything you could do to earn salvation. I mean, as good as you could live, you couldn't earn salvation. You could not pay the price for salvation to redeem you back to God. You couldn't pay that price. I'm not serving God because I'm trying to earn my place with God. I'm serving God because I love him, man. It's real for me. It's not a joke. I decided that I would follow him and obey him and all those things. But you are righteous because of Jesus and his wholeness. He makes us whole. And when we ask him to forgive us, he is faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us. And that puts us in a position that everything Jesus does, he can do in me. Somebody ought to say amen. Amen. The hindrance is not anything but your believing. The Bible says if we confess with our mouth and believe in our heart the Lord Jesus Christ, we're saved. It is the very first miracle that occurs in a human being from Jesus to confess with your mouth and believe in your heart the Lord Jesus Christ, you're saved. And then you receive the righteousness of God, which is through Christ. And he washes your sins as far as the east is from the west. And old things pass away and all things become new because of Jesus. Yes? Look at your name and say, because of Jesus. And so he says there that you don't earn it. He says there you can't do anything about it. But most of us live in a position to think that we have to somehow bring it to us. We have to somehow cause God to agree with us. When the problem is, if the very basic point of Christian life is confess with your mouth and believe in your heart the Lord Jesus Christ, then the basic point of your miracle is that you got to open your mouth and confess it with your mouth and believe it in your heart. Did you think that your prosperity was limited to just God? No, it's you confessing and believing in your heart. It's got to get in your heart and it's got to come out of your mouth. If you want to live in prosperity, it's got to come out of your mouth. When I ask you to speak, I want you to say it. I want you to say this with me. I want you to say, I'm rich because he was made poor. I got about 30% of the congregation. See, nobody heard what I just said. Nobody heard it. You've got to bring what God did to you. Not God himself. He's in you. But you've got to bring what God did to you. You've got to come to the point that you realize God's not causing disasters. We live in life with disasters. God's not your problem. He's your friend. If God be for you, who can be against you? I mean, the concept has to be my friend, my helper, my source is God. Amen. He's not the problem or the condition. Somebody say amen. And I want to use Jesus as my example. This is what It Is Finished is about. Our Easter ministry will happen on that Sunday, Easter Sunday, and we're going to call it It Is Finished is our program. So we're going to build to that program. Jesus was the lamb slain from the foundations of the earth. It wasn't the sin that brought the final word. The final word came before the sin. Oh, if you just get what I'm talking about. The answer's always provided before the problem exists. Come on, somebody. I should have got some real shouting on that. Oh, I know when you got in your problem, you thought you needed an answer. No, no, no. You just got to find your answer. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. There's an answer in Jesus. Look at your neighbor and say, there's an answer in Jesus. Come on, there's an answer in Jesus. Jesus lived on the earth and he lived here those days that he was here, and then he was sacrificed for us. I've watched enough football in my life to know that there are times when I personally have watched football games. There was a Texas A&M game several years ago. And it was Texas A&M was down and they had the ball and threw an interception with seconds left to go. Well, everybody I knew got mad because they were, you know, if you were a Texas A&M fan that day, it's over. The game is over. Anybody been watching basketball? Everybody's bracket was broken. Everybody? I just thought I'd say that. I didn't have a bracket, but if I did, it would have been broken. Amen? But if you were watching that Texas A&M game, you would have given up on the game. And many, many did. They closed it out, said it was over. About 30 minutes later, they were in the seventh overtime. Now, before this had happened, when the interception came, on the sidelines, they were throwing Gatorade on each other. They threw it on the coach. The team was jumping up, down, going crazy. But the referees watched the game, and what happened was the quarterback had actually been touched down on the ground before he threw the interception, so the play ended, and they were still 7 points down with the ball. But you'd already cut your TV off. And they were throwing Gatorade. Does anybody hear what I'm saying? All of a sudden, it goes seven overtimes, and ex-Texas A&M wins the game, and most people didn't even see it because they'd already quit the game. They thought it was over when they were throwing the Gatorade. When the devil had taken Jesus, put him on the cross, and crucified him that day, the devils went down to hell and started having a party. They were throwing Coke on each other and Gatorade, and they were dancing and hooping and hollering. But I want you to know something. Listen to me. The party was not over. I don't think anybody gets what I'm saying. Jesus said this. He said, I'm he that liveth and will never die. He said, I'm the Alpha and the Omega. I am the beginning and I am also the end. Oh, if you didn't, you think you're at the end? No, no, no. You're in the middle because he's the Alpha and the Omega. He's the beginning and the end. There's a better word, a new story. God wants to do something in your life. It isn't over yet. It's not done. Because God's word is always first. It's always above. It's always over. But can you imagine that day when the party was going on in hell and Jesus walked into the room and said, I don't know what y'all are partying about. Give me that hat. Give me those keys. I'm taking back life and death. It wasn't over at the cross. Because he said, you'll destroy this temple in 3 days, but they didn't read the rest of it, but I'll raise it up. The devil only read, I'll destroy the temple. He didn't read it, I'll raise it up. That's why when I read a scripture, it says, all things work together for the good to those who walk uprightly with Christ Jesus. I already know the end of the story. You can tell me the beginning, but I know what the end's going to look like. It's going to work out. God has a way. God's going to do what no man can do. God has already prepared an end. Eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard, neither has it entered in the heart of a man the things that God, y'all not shouting enough yet, has in store. I tell you, God's got some stuff lined up for me that my eye had not seen, my ear had not heard it. I haven't heard it in my heart, but God's already got that stuff lined up. I don't know what this means, but I know what that is. Still trying to get God to work for it. Still trying to get God to do stuff for it. Still trying to get God. He took the keys of death, hell, and the grave. And he missed the point. I don't know anybody on earth, because we had to go get things prepared. You know, age has a way of doing these things. And age caught up with grandma. And she was at that point. Doesn't change what God did, because I know what she looks like there. I don't think you understand what I'm saying. I'm not concerned with what she looked like here. Hallelujah. No more sickness. No more pain. No more disease. No more wrinkled skin. No more crickety bones. Jesus said, hey, I need to borrow your tomb. I don't think anybody got that. I don't know anybody on earth that goes to Grove Street and say, listen, I need your tomb for 3 days. I just got to borrow it. The devil didn't hear him explain. I'm not going to be in there 4 days. I got to borrow it so you can have it back. I'm coming out of that tomb. Do you understand? Let me tell you something. I don't care what you're facing, what you're going through. I want you to get this on the inside. God has the final say. God, I want you to look at your neighbor. I want you to say this. God has the final say. I want you to find somebody else around you. I want you to say, God has the final say.